Yeah, old stuff. I like the old stuff. I like the old stuff. All right. You got a word for the Lord. You help yourself this morning. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 to start with this morning. Then we'll be looking in Romans for a little bit. Isaiah chapter 1. All right. Appreciate Cheryl singing this morning. She kind of was the pinch hitter this morning. There's some others supposed to sing and couldn't today, so we appreciate her filling in. She's always willing, always available, seems like, so we appreciate her. All right. We know we're in a tough place anymore. The world's in a tough place, and it don't seem like we want to... Maybe sit down and discuss things. Everybody's got their own opinions and pretty well set in a place it's hard to convince anybody of anything. I don't know where people get some of their ideas, some of them way out in left field. Probably never seen a more nuttier people than what we have today. Nutty as fruitcakes. That's about as simple as I can say it. And way out there. But sometimes we're going to have to just sit down and look at some things and be clear about some truth, all right? Let's pray together, and then we'll look at some scripture. Father, we come today. Lord, you're most wonderful in every way. There's nothing that you can't do, and there's nobody as great as you, and you just can't beat you. Lord, you're wonderful. We love you this morning. We don't deserve you, but we sure are glad that you love us and care for us and you give to us so mercifully. I don't understand, again, your grace or your mercy, but I sure am a benefactor of all of it. Now, Lord, I need you this morning. I can't do nothing without you. I don't have physical strength. I don't have mental strength. I don't have spiritual strength. Without you, I can do nothing. I pray now that you might take the word of God, speak into our heart. And Lord, as we listen, help us not to pass it off, but help us to address it in our own life. And Lord, I pray for each one this morning, those here in person, those who are watching live stream, those who will listen later today on the website. Lord, I pray that you might deal with every heart, speak to us, and Lord, draw us to a place of repentance, I pray. And I sure do thank you for how good you are. In Jesus' name, and amen. Isaiah chapter 1 is where we're going to look at, and there's so much foolishness today. I mean, laid out this plumb foolishness, and it seems like... And I'm not wanting to be so critical and I'm not wanting to be mean at all, but it seems like people don't have a brain anymore. We have people today. Now, these are nothing new. People identify as animals. I seen a feller the other day has had some kind of a video. He was identifying himself as an oyster. That was a new one. I've seen him do fur babies and cats and dogs and all these things, but he was identifying himself as an oyster. Now, can I tell you, that's mental. That is mental problems. I mean, that is just out there. You got boys identifying, and men identifying as women and girls. You got girls wanting to identify themselves as boys and men, and that is mental. It is mental sin is what it is. It's not a disease. I want everybody to look at me this morning. Sin is not a disease. That there's a cure in a pill or a shot or a therapy. Alright, you need Jesus is what you need. You need Jesus because you're lost without God. And we have people today that identify with these things. We have scripture that people are messed up. You go back over in Mark chapter 5 and you see the maniac of Gadara. And there he lived in the tombs. He ran naked. Well, we got people today that do all the stuff with dead people and graveyards and Halloween's coming and y'all go ahead and celebrate if you want, but it's the devil's night and you go ahead and say it don't hurt, but you go ahead and do it anyway. And we'll go ahead and do it. Do it if you want to, but it ain't right. Go ahead and dress up and support it, but it ain't right. Amen, preacher, it ain't right. Just go ahead and say, well, we've always done it. Well, you've always been wrong then, it ain't right. Okay, just because people used to do it don't mean, listen, my family used to run liquor, but it ain't right. All right, everybody understand that? So there's some things you just don't do. It don't hurt. Yes, it does hurt. If it ain't of God, it hurts. Listen to me this morning. If it ain't of God, it hurts. All right, and that's just the truth. The maniac, he lived in the tombs, run naked. Well, that's pretty evident anymore. People run pretty near naked. Pajamas. When did people, don't tell me people are right in their head. Why do people, now, if you do this, it's just tough. But, you got to watch even getting a shopping cart at Walmart because you don't know where the dog's done his business in the buggy or not, because everybody takes their animals to Walmart and the food stores and they wear their pajamas. The reason they do it is because they never got out of them. Because they lay around and don't do anything. And that's how come they go. Now, you say you shouldn't preach it. Well, somebody's got to say something somewhere. But it shows the mental capacity of people. And mentally, people are messed up. They're messed up mentally. They're messed up in their heart. That's the problem. When a maniac come to Jesus, the Bible clearly says that he was in his right mind when he sat down at Jesus after Jesus saved him. So therefore, he was in his wrong mind before. And that's what people need today, is they need to get their mind lined out. They need Jesus and their heart fixed, and that'll fix their mind. And that's just the truth of the matter this morning. All right, that's the way it is. They cut themselves. They hurt themselves. We just had the protesters. We had Charlie Kirk, who, from all appearances, was a great guy. Stood for right. Debated with a Christian attitude, a Christian spirit. They kill him, and then people make fun and are glad that he's dead. This is a sinful world that we're living in today. Now, right or wrong, whether you agree with somebody or not, you don't wish somebody dead. And you don't wish their children to be fatherless. And you don't wish their wives to be husbandless. And then they said, now let's continue on and kill the president. That's what some of them said. I mean, this is the mentality. It's because people are away from God. They don't know the Lord. And it don't matter your politics this morning. That's not what we're not preaching, Paul. We're preaching right and wrong. And it don't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. If we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And somewhere we're going to have to come to the table and sit down and be reasonable about some things. And this morning, that's what we want to preach to you just for a moment, is that let's be reasonable. We need to be reasonable. All right, because people have, we're not being reasonable anymore. Everybody wants to accept the far out. And now they're wanting to, they said that Elon Musk is going to be the next one they kill. I mean, why do people think this? Why do people want this? Why? It's because of their heart and their mind, and just because of sin. So we're going to look at some things this morning and just be reasonable about some things. Just some common sense. Just some set down some common sense, right and wrong, black and white. Lay it out and then deal with it today. And you need to deal with it in your heart. Somewhere you're going to have to come to terms with who you are, what you are, truthfully. Okay? Can I tell you that if you was born a boy, you're a boy, and you'll be turned into a man if you live long enough. And if you was a girl when you was born, you're going to be a girl until you're old enough to be a woman, and you're going to be a woman. All right? And dogs are dogs, and cats are cats, and oysters are oysters, and cows are cows. And that's just the way it is. Them are things that's reality, okay? And if you don't eat cow butter, we done talked about it, you eat plastic. I mean, that's how we need to be reasonable about some things, all right? Margarine and all that other stuff is plastic, all right? And so we'll just go in with the cow. I just want to be real this morning. That all right? We need to be real. We need to be real with ourselves. We need to be honest. I believe we heard that this past week when... Tuesday night when Jonathan sung, they sung that song, I Want to Be Honest, and then the preacher preached on, I Want to Be Honest. And that's what we need. We need some honesty this morning. And you need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. That's what the scripture says. Let a man examine himself and see whether or not he's saved or whether he's lost to see it. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We'll just read this one verse to start with. It says, come now and let us reason together. Let us read. Let's be reasonable. Let's reason about this thing. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now that's a very simple verse. Come now. Now let's look at something. Come now, today, right now. Right now, let's come together and examine this thing this morning. The moment, the very moment we're in. It says, let us reason together. Now, I looked up the word reason, and it says to engage in a calm, logical discussion to understand a situation. That's what to reason is. To engage in a calm, logical discussion to understand a situation. And then it goes on in the meaning, it says to resolve a conflict and then to make a decision. So we're going to reason about this, and you need to be calm about it. You don't have to get excited, and you need to engage in this to be a participant of it and come to a logical conclusion here. All right, everybody understands that. And then to resolve the conflict, well, so where's the conflict? Between you and God. That's where the conflict is. The conflict ain't with me and the government. The conflict's between man and God. And then to make a decision. And you need to make the decision that will change the way that you're going, that you might come simply to Jesus Christ. Because you need him as your Savior today. Let's be reasonable about it. Everybody understand that? You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, chapter 7, verse 20, that there is not a just man upon this earth which doeth good and sinneth not. There's no one. Everybody, let's be reasonable about this. There's no one any better than the other. There's not a just man upon this earth which doeth good and sinneth not. Everybody here this morning, everybody under the sound of my voice, whether they be in person on Facebook or we're listening later on the webpage, everybody in Somersville, West Virginia, United States, the whole world, everyone is a sinner. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody righteous. In their own merits, without Christ, there's no one that's righteous. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has come short. Everyone has. The Bible says in James that if you offend one place in the law, then you're guilty of all. So that means that you're not no better than somebody. You say, well, I've never murdered. Yeah, but if you lied, you're guilty of murder. And you say, well, I've never committed adultery. Yeah, but if you've stolen, then you're guilty of all of it. See, that's what the Bible says, to show you that everybody is the same when it comes to wrong. We're all equally wrong. We're all equally lost. We're born all equally away from God. And that's where the conflict is. And God says, let's be reasonable about this thing and let's sit down and discuss it and look, I'm giving you an opportunity for forgiveness. I'm giving you an opportunity of salvation. I'm giving you an opportunity for reconciliation, but you're going to have to be reasonable about your own life this morning. You're going to have to be reasonable about it. But people are not reasonable. You know how come? Because when you tell them that they're lost, and they say, yeah, but oh, so-and-so. And they're being unreasonable. They're trying to compare themselves with this one and with that one. Well, if you want to be reasonable, compare yourself with the Lord. He's perfect. Compare yourself there and see how you fare. You're not, if you compare yourself to me, I'm going to tell you flat-footed, I'm a sinner this morning. I sin. Now, I am not classified a sinner, as you, if you would say it like that, because I've been born again. I am classified now as a saint, but I still sin because I'm in this flesh.
Right.
And if you're saved this morning, that's how you're classified. All right? And we, and you understand it. So if you compare yourself to me, you're not better than yourself. Can I go ahead and tell you that? It ain't going to take much to be better than me. You know, it ain't going to take much at all. If you're better than me, then wonderful. All right? I'm not going to be jealous of it in the least bit, okay? But that's not going to get you nowhere. You say, well, why? Why am I a sinner? Well, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore is but one man sin that entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We was born a sinner. We was passed down that we was a sinner because of Adam. Because of the first man. And that first man sinned. There was one rule and he disobeyed it. It didn't have a one rule. And it just shows that man is a sinner. And that's what you are. You need to be reasonable about that. Now, there are some things you don't do, I'm sure. But there are some things you do that you know you shouldn't do. Is that not true? Let's be reasonable. That's reasonable. That's just a reasonable assumption. We're going to engage in a calm, logical discussion to understand the situation. I want you to understand that you're a sinner this morning. And look here, see what it says. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. And then it goes on and says, though they be red like crimson. Now, why is that like that? Why does he use them two terms, scarlet and crimson? Why do they use them two terms to see, to compare to your sin? Well, scarlet and crimson are permanent dyes. They're permanent. And in that day, they were permanent dyes. When they dyed, what they done. Now, if you want to know where it all come from, why the words are there, why it's used like that, they was a worm. All right, there was a worm that after it advanced so for so many weeks, and then it would secrete some kind of solution and would turn blood red, and it would just as scarlet as could be, crimson color, and it would cover its eggs, and the people would gather up in worms and boil them and mix alum with it, and they had crimson and scarlet dye, and then they would mix the alum with it where it would attach itself to the clothing. And that would be in there permanently. That's how they made crimson and scarlet clothing. All right? Out of a worm. And if you get deep in all of that, when Christ died on the cross, he referred to himself as a worm. I just want you to know there's a covering. There's some things there we need to pay attention to. There's a lot of scripture we can go together. But is everybody with me understanding why crimson and scarlet? Because it was a permanent dye. You know that dye was so rich and so I don't know what the word would be, that you couldn't take it out. Once you dyed something with scarlet and crimson, man couldn't undye it. It was permanent. Couldn't change it. It was just like it. And that's the way your sins are.
That's right.
That man can't change it.
That's right.
Man can't fix it. It takes something bigger than man to change the sin in your life. Now, God says here, though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as crimson, permanently unable to be removed by man, that's your sin. That means you can't be good enough because you don't want to be good enough. You got a standard. Everybody in this church building this morning has a standard of good that you're not going to be more good than what you want to be. You're only going to do so much. You're only going to be so holy because we got a rebellious streak up us. And we're only going to go so far. Because if we go too far, we'll say, well, they'll think we're a fanatic. Or we'll call someone else a fanatic. And we're all comfortable as long as everybody sins the same way. long as we all sin the same level, then everybody's comfortable. But you let somebody get a little worse and we'll talk about them, or let somebody get a little less in their sin and we'll talk about them. We'd rather everybody be just like we are. But that's not reasonable. That's unreasonable. We need to be reasonable about our own situation. See, your sin is not what brings my conflict with God. It's my sin. Your rebellion does not affect me and God. My rebellion affects me and God. Your rejection of God does not affect me. It's my rejection of God that affects me. We need to be reasonable. We need to have a calm, engage in a calm discussion and come to the truth about the situation that we are in need of the Lord. We need Him. Think about that. I mean, it's so simple when we look at it in that respect, all right? Now, not only does we look at the sins being scarlet and crimson because they're permanent and man can't remove it, it's also because it's visible. It's not just permanent, but it's visible. Your sin shows this morning. My sin shows. See, we act out what we are. Everybody understand that? You act out. If you're an unbeliever, you act it out. We don't really have to ask. Sometimes we make a mistake and ask a Christian if they're an unbeliever, because they ain't living very close. But we can usually tell because it's visible. Are you following me this morning? That's why if you have on a scarlet garment or a crimson garment, you come in here. Now, I see greens and grays and browns and yellers and pinks this morning. But if you come in here in something bright red, everybody's going to look and say, wow. Huh? If you have on red shoes, they're going to notice your shoes. You come in here in a bright red shirt, they're going to say, wow. Boy, that's bright. How many times have you ever said that? Somebody come in, boy, that's bright. Why? Because it was visible. Your sins are visible. In other words, you can't hide your sin this morning. Let's be reasonable about it. You can't hide it. That makes sense to you this morning? It's permanent. You can't remove it. And it's visible. Huh? That's what he's saying here. We still okay? And it's stained. It's stained, and if you get stain on your hand, you know, we're coming into fall here, and you ain't going to see it much now because of the way, I'll look and I'll notice people's hands will look like coffee. And I know exactly where they've been. They've been shelling walnuts. Huh? I'll see their hands, and I don't have to ask them. It ain't tar off a roof. It's just got its own. It's got its own color, and I'll know if they've been shelling walnuts. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? And it stains. You can't unless you put gloves on, and you better have probably some rubber gloves even under them old work leather gloves. After a while, it'll even get on you with that. It soaks through. But everybody gets stained. Can I tell you that the stains are there? You got any stains this morning? You got any stains where the sin has stained you and left it to where people see and people know? Huh? See, everybody may not know, but a lot of people know because of the stains. See, you can't hide. You can't hide your sin this morning. And that's what the Lord's trying to get us to see, to be reasonable about this thing. Now, you may think you get by. I may think I get by. But hear me. The Bible plainly tells us that our sin will be shown. Be sure your sin will find you out. We say that all the time. We understand that. And it's true. But what about you? You know it. You know it this morning. Let's be reasonable about this thing. It said, now, though your sins, it says, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, Though they be red like crimson. What does it say now? Well, if that's all it is, if it's all, we're just going to have to look at our sin, then that's going to be depressing. But there's something good about this. It says, though they be red like crimson, though they be red like scarlet, though they be this dark and this dreary, can I tell you, they can be as white as snow. And it's going to take the divine intervention of God, and God made a way that you could be washed. We sung it in Sunday school this morning when Cheryl had us sing with her. There is a fountain that's filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath its flood, lose all their what? Their guilty stains. It loses all that crimson, and loses all that scarlet, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin this morning. Think about that. But it takes a divine intervention, and the Lord Jesus is the one that is able to do that this morning. We need to be reasonable about that. It's not denominations that does it. You remember here a few years ago when the Muslim come and wore his backpack in here and scared everybody to death when he had his backpack. Remember when he come three, four Sundays there, you know, everybody got all, well, what if he has a bomb? What if he did have a bomb? Who cares? Okay? But when he come, and I probably told you, if I didn't, I'll tell you now. He was sitting back there where Matt and Angie sitting. That's where he was sitting at morning. I went back there and sat beside him. And he told me, he said, I'm a devout believer in Islam. I said, well, that's wonderful. That's great. If that's what you want to do. I said, what do you do with your sin? Amen. And he said, pardon me. I said, I just got one question for you. What do you do with your sin? And he said, well, he said, I believe that you have to maintain a certain thing and do certain things. I said, stop. I said, so you're telling me that you've got to atone for your own sin. That you've got to work. And he said, well, I said, you don't want to put it like that though, do you? I said, well, can I tell you, that's not going to fix you at all. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. Now I want you to listen carefully, because I'm going to preach on the cross, and I did. That was the message that morning. I preached on the cross of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, that is the answer. It's an answer to Islam, it's an answer to Mormonism, it's an answer to Catholicism, it's an answer to Jehovah's Witness, it's an answer to the Buddhist, it's an answer to anything you can believe. Christ is still the answer, and it's still the blood. Nothing but the blood will be able to wash you clean this morning. Nothing. Nothing. It's got to be what God does. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be made like wool. As white as snow. You don't get no cleaner than what snow is. Snow's pretty, man. It's white. A wool, pure wool, is as white as can be. And it's why? How does that work? It's not going to be what you do. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's by what Christ does. Amen. You've got to be washed in the blood. And you can only accept that by faith. See, if you go on down in Isaiah chapter 1, and verse 19 says, if you be willing. You're going to have to be willing. And then it says to be obedient. You're going to have to accept it. You're going to have to do what it says. And that's by faith. By faith. You're going to have to believe it this morning. The Bible says that if thou confess with thy mouth, Romans 10, starting verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Huh? It goes on and says, for the scripture saith, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. It says, for the same Lord over all is rich, is great and rich. He's wonderful. You can't beat Him. And He's the same to all that call upon Him. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. But it's by faith. You got to believe it. It's to be willing. You're going to have to be reasonable about this thing. And people don't want to be reasonable. People don't want to be reasonable. They want to try to work. They want to try to fix it all up. Listen, you're the one that's messed your life up. Why do you think you could fix it? Why do you think that? Nobody messed your life up. You messed your life up. You've got that inside you to do it, but nobody forces you to do wrong. Nobody forces you. You choose. That's why you got to choose to get out of it. That's why you got to choose Christ. You got to make a conscious decision. And that's what this reasonable is. Let's go back and look at the meaning again. To engage in a calm, logical discussion, to understand a situation, to resolve a conflict, to make a decision. It's just that simple. It's that simple. You understand that? Now, when we think about being made white as snow, you know, being white as snow, it's going to stand, it stands at somewhere. You got to be cleansed. It's cleansing. Revelation 1:5, we mentioned it a while ago. And Sherry even mentioned part of it in her testimony. It says, who loved us and washed us in his own blood. That's what Revelation 1:5 tells us. Who loved us and washed us in his own blood. He loves you. God loves you. Though you be a sinner, God loves you this morning. Though you be a sinner in conflict against God, God loves you and cares about you. So much that he left heaven and come down to walk this earth and show you complete perfection in God and perfection in man and go to a rugged cross and die for your sins to be buried and rise again the third day to ascend into the Father to make a way for your salvation this morning. Think about that. Who loved us and then washes us in his own blood. Ain't that wonderful? It says over, what is it in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, for we're redeemed not of corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or without blemish. Can I tell you, he is the one that cleanses us this morning. You need Jesus. Listen, it's good to come to church, and I'm glad you come to church, and I want you to keep coming to church. But if that's all you do, the church will not save you. It can't. It can't. The church can't save you, but Christ can. And he will if you'll trust him by faith. You got to believe that. You got to be reasonable. You got to be reasonable. You got to reason about this. See, many of your people are, I see them all the time. They carry their briefcase. In the summertime, you'll see them, white shirts, little black name tag, and you'll see them with their little satchel, and they're going up and down the streets, and they're peddling. They get you to talk with them because they tell you, let's talk about the Bible. And I've had them, they're called Mormons. And they come, and I've seen them coming down the road before many times, and I'll talk with them. I go out on the porch and here they'll come and they say, can we talk to you? I said, absolutely. And they'll sit on the porch and they said, we want to talk about the Bible. I said, absolutely. And I've seen them coming. I'll go get my Bible and I'll let there beside me. And here they come and they reach in their satchel and they start to pull out. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, we're just going to discuss the Bible. Leave that other book in your satchel. We don't want the Book of Mormon. Let's just look at the Bible. And he said, well, I would like for you to have this little card. I said, well, what is that little card? And he said, this is our belief. I said, well, good. Let's go over that little card. Let's go over that little card. And we start down through there, and then I start asking about their belief and asking about being born again. And they'll say, well, we was born again. I said, well, tell me about it. They said, well, we go forward in the service, and then there's some people pray over us. I said, whoa, whoa. I said, and that's your new birth? I said, well, that ain't what the Bible talks. And I explained to them the new birth, and I'll never forget the last two young men that I talked to. They sat there on the porch, and when they left, they said, you have really given us some things to think about, and we're really confused about what we believe now. And I said, will you come back, and I'll talk to you more. I said, but you need Christ. I said, you're not going to go to a planet called Kolob and have a bunch of other wives and all this thing. I said, that's foolishness. You need Christ. Huh? See, we got to be reasonable about this thing. Huh? It ain't that been that long ago I seen a Jehovah's Witness over at Brendan Frank's. And I said, well, I hope they stop at the house. Usually I'm not there. So I went out on the front porch with my Bible, sat on the swing or on the glider thing, the chair. And here they come. And she said, how are you? I said, I'm fine. Glad to meet you. And all that, you know. And she said, can I talk to you a little bit? I said, sure. I said, I only got one thing, a couple of things to say. I said, before you get too involved. I said, what's that? I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I believe the Bible. And you need to be born again. And you need to trust Christ. And Christ is God. I said, so let's get all that before we ever say a word. Let's get all that laid out. That Christ died on a cross, not a torture stake. That he was God in the flesh and that he died and was buried, rose again bodily. And you need to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And I said, and you're out here working, trying to earn points, and you can't get it that way. You need Christ. I said, what do you do with your sin? Nobody seems to know what they're going to do with their sin. And I always ask them, what are you going to do with your sin? Well, I said, well, wait a minute, you're already hesitating. Let me tell you what I've done with mine. I brought him to Christ because I was lost, and he born me again and washed me away, washed him plumb away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made like wool. That's what the Bible says. Are you hearing me? I want you to understand this morning that though it looks dreary, that your sins are many, Christ come to save you from your sins this morning. Huh? The Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's that simple. It's that simple. And you need Christ. So we see that. It stands for the cleansing. It stands for purity. That white stands for clean. When it's white, it's clean. You understand? When you see it's white, you know it's clean. And then it stands for purity. It's always, you can't get pure other than by Christ. Are we still okay? Then it stands, if it was scarlet and was crimson, and then it's white as snow, what does that show you? It shows you there's a transformation. There's a change. Huh? You know that when he makes you white, he changes you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ain't that wonderful? Let's be reasonable about this thing. That's about as reasonable as I know to be. So simple. So simple. That you need Jesus Christ. Huh? We still okay this morning? What do you do? What do you do? It brings forgiveness. It brings God's mercy. It brings God's grace. It brings God's salvation. Huh? For eternity. For eternity. Think about that. It's not just for a day or two. It's forever. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He that believeth shall have everlasting life, it said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Huh? John 3:15 says, if we'll believe on him, we'll have eternal life. Huh? Are we okay with that? That's what the Bible says. See, that's what are you hearing me this morning? Let's be reasonable. That's what the Bible says. Let's be reasonable about this thing. Try to get man to confirm everything you need, huh? You don't have to go to man to get forgiveness. You come to God, and he gives you Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but there's but one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. It goes on and says, for who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'd be reasonable about this thing. Are you listening to me this morning? I don't know what other scripture even give you to get you to understand. Let's be reasonable. Do you know Christ? Let me ask you, look at me this morning. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you would die today, would you go to heaven? If you would die today, would you go? Do you know for sure? And you say, well, I don't know. Then you need to run out of your seat this morning to this altar now and say, I don't know. I want to be with God. And I'll have Brother Rick or Dennis or Janie or one of these ladies just get a Bible and show you, Miss Kim, show you where you can know, huh? That you can know, the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Jesus this morning? Are you saved this morning? Man, you need Jesus this morning. Let's be reasonable about this thing. But see, it's more than just being saved. Someone said They want more when they come to church. They just don't want to come to church and hear about being saved all the time. Well, you'll have to, like I think the answer was given them, you need to come more than Sunday morning then. Yeah. Because you're going to get salvation on Sunday morning. But just for those who may not ever come back. Let's be reasonable about this thing. We still want to be reasonable? Huh? How about Romans chapter 12? How about Romans chapter 12? See, I want you to be reasonable about this thing, being saved, that you know you're a sinner and know that you need Jesus Christ. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made like wool. And the only thing that can do that is the blood of Christ. It used to be, I don't know where it's at now, I've got it somewhere. Let me see if I can remember how it works. You take a red piece of glass. Let me see if I might mess this up telling you. You take a red piece of glass and you take another red piece of glass and put under it. And when you look through the red glass to the red glass, it looks white. All right, let me say that again. You take a red piece of glass, all right, and you take another red piece of glass and put under it and look through that. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, though they be white. And when you look at that red piece of glass under that red piece of glass, it's white as snow. Huh? That's just the way it works with the Lord. Let's be reasonable about this thing. Let's be reasonable about this thing this morning. Romans chapter 12, let's look at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable
service. Which is just reasonable. It's reasonable. It's just simply reasonable that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Huh? Reasonable service. You know, when I looked up reason, I give you the meaning of reason. And it was in to engage in a calm, logical discussion to understand a situation, to resolve a conflict, to make a decision. That's reason. Come, let us reason. But then I looked up the word reasonable. And you know what reasonable means? Fair. Let's just be fair. Let's just be basic. Basic. It's just the normal. Is everybody all right? Understands that? Huh? So what do I see here? That I might be, because, now what's it say? I beseech you therefore, brethren. We got that up there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God. I want every born again believer to look at me this morning. Because of the mercies of God. How much mercy have you received this morning? How much have you been given? For all of us ought to be in hell with our back broke. Every one of us ought to be in hell with our back broke this morning. But we've received mercy from an almighty God. And that mercy has showed us His grace and His love and His tender care in every situation. And because of that, He says, because of that mercy, then we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Right. Not like the animals that were sacrificed. Not like when you sacrificed an animal, it was a one-time deal. And I believe that's where we're stuck at. We come to God, we accept Christ as our Savior, receive Christ, and we'll sacrifice it just for a moment, and it's a one-time deal. But he says, no, bring yourself a living sacrifice. That means every day. Every day, which is your reasonable service. It's just fair. It's just fair. You want to be fair? How many like to be treated unfair? Anybody here likes to be treated unfair? How many here likes to be treated fair? Anybody like to be treated fair? I mean, you get in a dealing, you want a fair shake, right? Well, can I tell you, you ain't gonna get nothing more fair than what God did. God took you and your filth and your shame and your guilt, all the conflict against Him, all the blasphemies and filth that's in your life of idolatries and idolatries and drunkenness and lies and cheating and gossip and murders and all the things that we've done. And He said, I'll take all that and give you eternal life. That don't sound fair to Him, but it was sore. We got a good deal, didn't we? Huh? Then it would only be fair. It would only be fair for you to give Him your life every day. It'd only be fair. It'd only be fair. Basic. Paul said, because of the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, I beg you. Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you to be fair with the Lord and give Him your life every day. Christian friend, let's be reasonable about this thing. Huh? I tell you what a problem is. We only use the Lord when we need Him. We don't use the Lord to bring Him glory. We use the Lord when we need Him. If everything's going good, now listen to me. If everything's going good, all the bills are paid, everybody's healthy, ain't nobody dying, everything's good, then you'll take Him or leave Him. You'll take Him or leave Him. But when something bad turns, then you start calling. You start asking. You start, you want to get close to God then? Home gets in trouble, you'll run to God. Kids get in trouble, you run to God. Listen, you need to run to God before they get in trouble. You need to run to God before your home gets in trouble. You need to run to God before your family gets in trouble. You need to run to God before your kids go wayward. Are you hearing me? Need to go before you turn into an addict. You need to go before, need to come to God before you turn into a drunkard. Right. Huh? We don't use Him like that because we're not fair. We want to be treated fair, but we want to live like we're a crook. We want everybody to be honest with us, but we want to be a crook. Let me say that again because I don't think you got it. We want everybody to be fair with us and want God to be fair, but we want to be the crook. And we want to burn Him. Huh? Did you ever burn somebody in a deal and walk away laughing? Huh? You ever burn somebody in some trade? Well, boy, that sucker got that. Huh? You ever do that? We've done it. That's how we do God. When we're not willing to be reasonable about living our life for the Lord, we're treating God as a sucker. And Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Huh? Think about that. A living sacrifice, ongoing, huh? Renewing our mind. What does it say in verse 2? How do we do this? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somewhere you're going to have to get it in your head. Somewhere you're going to have to get it in your head that you're going to serve the Lord. Christian friend, hear me. You saved? Yeah, preacher, I'm saved. Well, I'm tickled to death you're saved. That's the main thing. I don't want to see nobody go to hell. But I tell you, it's hard to live with a bunch of deadbeats. Ain't it? Is that what we've become? I didn't say is that what you've become. I ask you if that's what we've become. Have we become a bunch of deadbeats that won't give back to God? Have we become so uncaring to the mercies of the Lord? So ungrateful to the grace of God? So ungrateful to what He's given us and what He's done for us? And now He's a take it or leave it God? Is that what we've done? Why don't we be reasonable about this thing? It's just fair. He gives us eternal life. It's just fair we live for Him. Ain't that just fair? Wouldn't that be just the normal? If He's going to do for you what He's done for you, if He's going to do for me. Listen, I don't have a life. My life is Christ. It's what the Bible says. I was born again. When I was born again, I set my life aside and I got life, Christ in me, hope of glory. And if I do anything other than that, I'm unreasonable. It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable for people who've been born again and forgiven of their sin and washed clean and white and pure. It's unreasonable to live any other way than for the Lord. That's unreasonable. That's unreasonable. Makes no sense. It's dirty and trifling. Is that not true? Is that not true? Does He not deserve? Let me ask you, does He not deserve? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, does He not deserve more than what we give Him? Everybody, you know, we've been talking about Charlie Kirk. When was it, Wednesday? They killed that little boy, 31 years old. He didn't down nobody. He would obey. He was always kind and talked to them. And they shot him and killed him. Now, what you hear so much stuff, you don't know what's new and what's true and what's news and what's made up. And you'll never probably hear everything that you should. But the bottom line is in Charlie Kirk's dead. All right. He's dead because people didn't like what he said. Right. But you know what he done? He didn't go to school. He didn't go to college. Didn't have a college education. What he had a faith in God and he was wanting to share and to make changes in people. He wanted people to see truth and he wanted them to see the right way and explain to them that they were worth something. When he debated these people that were transgenders and homosexuals, and he wasn't downing them. He was showing them they was better than that. They could be better than that. They didn't have to identify as a dog. They weren't a dog. They didn't have to identify as some animal. He wanted to understand that the gospel was good for them. Just simplicity. To be reasonable about this thing. And he spent his life doing that. And 31 years, now his life's gone. Now, his words will speak on. And they'll be doing these, repeating his podcasts and all of his interviews. And all that will be wonderful. But I believe we can say about that young guy, I believe he went ahead and give the Lord his reasonable service. They wouldn't know where he didn't turn away to speak at. College campuses, on the street. On them talk shows and talk to all them people. Willing. You know what he was doing? He was just making his life reasonable service. And I don't know that we're reasonable. I believe we're unreasonable. I believe it's unreasonable not to share the gospel of Christ. I believe it's unreasonable not to live for Christ. I believe it's unreasonable not to read your Bible. I believe it's unreasonable not to pray. I believe it's unreasonable just to lay out a church because you don't want to go. I think it's unreasonable. It's just unreasonable. Are you listening to me? It's quiet on this part. We was doing better when it was being reasonable about being lost. But boy, when we get to that being reasonable about being a Christian, well, it gets tight there though. You know why? Because we're unreasonable. Why don't we reason together this morning and let's give some reasonable service. Sharon, you go to piano. Let me ask you this morning. Are you reasonable this morning? Let's be reasonable. Let's reason together. What have you found yourself this morning? Have you found yourself lost? Have you found yourself lost? We're not asking if you've been baptized. We're not asking if you've been confirmed. We're not asking if you've been sprinkled. We're not asking you if you took communion. We're asking you, have you been born again? Huh? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins and self and come to Christ and receive Christ? Do you have Christ? Now you got to be careful with that terminology, because Catholicism, when you have Holy Communion and they put that dissolvable wafer in your mouth, that you're receiving Christ. Well, that's not true. That's just eating them dissolvable little wafers. You understand that? When you take communion and they say, well, that's receiving Christ. That's your new birth. When you tell you, when you're christened as a baby, that's been what your sins being washed away. That's not true. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, have you, with the person, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who hung and bled on Calvary, who was died and was buried and rose again, have you received Him and trusted Him as your Savior? He's not in another name. Jesus is not the same as Allah. He's not the same as Buddha. He's not the same as Taz Russell. He's not the same as Joseph Smith. He's Jesus, God's only Son. Have you taken Him as your Savior? If not, we invite you to come. Rick, you come. Dennis, come. And Pat, you and Kim, get ready with your Bibles. Janie, y'all get ready. If anybody come and need some help around this altar, you come. I want you to come and know that you're free to come to Christ. The only thing that's keeping you from Christ today is you. You. The Lord wants you. It's not His will, the Bible says, that God is not slack concerning His promises. Some may count slackness. But is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to come to Christ. He wants you to come to Him, that He can save you, cleanse you, make you pure, take you to be with Him for eternity. Man, ain't nothing no better than going to spend an eternity with God. Ain't that wonderful? And you ought to come. If you're a Christian this morning and you've been living unreasonable, well, fix it. Fix it. Quit being unreasonable. Repent and say, God, I'm going to be reasonable from here on out. You say, well, what if I fail? Well, then repent and hit it again. And then if you fail, repent and hit it again. Huh? I'm just telling you this morning, we need to be reasonable this morning. So let's stand together. Father, speaking to every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name.